905-458-2828.
ਟਰੱਕ ਸਰਵਿਸਿੰਗ ਖੇਤਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਓਂਟਾਰੀਓ ਦਾ ਮੋਹਰੀ ਨਾ ਕੁਇਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਲਿਊਬ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਚਲਾਉਣੇ ਜਾਂ ਫਲੀਟ ਹੈਗੀ ਜੇ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਵੈਲਿਊ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਅਪਾਇੰਟਮੈਂਟ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਫਸਟ ਕਮ ਫਸਟ ਸਰਵਡ ਸਟੇਟ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਆਰਟ ਫੈਸਿਲਿਟੀ ਟ੍ਰੇਨਡ ਟੈਕਨੀਸ਼ੀਅਨਸ ਰਾਹੀਂ ਬੈਸਟ ਹਾਈ ਗ੍ਰੇਡ ਆਇਲਸ ਫਿਲਟਰਸ ਇੰਜਨ ਦੀ ਜਾਨ ਵਧਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਤਿੰਨ ਲੋਕੇਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰਦੇ QTL ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 268 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਕੇਂਬ੍ਰਿਜ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 579 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਨਾਪਨੀ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 5 QEW ਫੋਰਟ ਏਰੀ ਸਰਵਿਸ ਹੋਰ ਕੁਆਲਿਟੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪ੍ਰਮੁੱਖ ਨਾਂ QTL 519-622-0660 ਜੋ ਆਵੇ ਸੋ ਰਾਜ਼ੀ ਜਾਵੇ
Welcome listeners to another edition of A Muslim's Perspective. Today we are going to feature on the issue of taking individual responsibility. The selection from this week's selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 53 verses 33 to 42. Let's listen in as it's recited.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والنجم إذا هوى.
By the star when it descends.
ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى.
Your companion Muhammad has not strayed, nor has he erred.
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى
Nor does he speak from his own inclination.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى
It is not but a revelation revealed.
عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى
Taught to him by one intense in strength.
ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى
One of soundness, and he rose to his true form.
وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى
While he was in the higher part of the horizon.
ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى
Then he approached and descended.
فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى
And was at a distance of two bow lengths or nearer.
فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا
So turn away from whoever turns his back on our message and desires not except the worldly life.
ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اهْتَدَى
That is their sum of knowledge. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who strays from His way, and He is most knowing of who is guided.
وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى
And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, that He may recompense those who do evil with the penalty of what they have done, and recompense those who do good with the best reward.
الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى.
Those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, only committing slight ones. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. He was most knowing of you when He produced you from the earth, and when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. So do not claim yourselves to be pure. He is most knowing of who fears Him. Have you seen the one who turned away? And gave a little and then refrained. Does he have knowledge of the unseen, so he sees?
أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى
Or has he not been informed of what was in the scriptures of Moses?
وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى
And of Abraham, who fulfilled his obligations.
أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى
That no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another.
وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى
And that there is not for man except that good for which he strives.
وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى
And that his effort is going to be seen.
ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى
Then he will be recompensed for it with the fullest recompense. And that to your Lord is the finality.
Indeed, those verses, chapter 53, verses 33 to 42. And let's dive deep into the explanation of these. These verses address personal responsibility, accountability before God, and the futility of relying on the deeds or status of others for salvation. If we look at verse 33 of chapter 53, it says, Have you seen the one who turned away? This verse refers to a person who initially showed some inclination toward faith or righteousness, but then withdrew and turned away from the truth. Classical commentators such as Ibn Kathir and At-Tabari explain that while there may have been a specific historical context, the verse applies generally to anyone who abandons obedience after recognizing the truth. The lesson here is guidance requires perseverance. Recognizing the truth is not enough. One must remain committed to it. And when we look at the next verse, which is verse 34, and gave a little and then held back, the individual is criticized for making only a minimal contribution toward righteousness and then stopping. This may refer to charity, acts of worship, or general obedience to God. The lesson, faith should be characterized by consistency, not occasional or reluctant effort. We look to verse 35, where it says, Does he possess knowledge of the unseen and can therefore foresee? The verse rebukes anyone who acts as though they know their future fate or assumes they can escape accountability. The lesson, human beings do not possess knowledge of the unseen. Ultimate knowledge belongs only to God. Verse 36 and 37, Or was he not informed of what is in the scrolls of Moses and of Abraham who fulfilled? Allah reminds humanity that the principles being taught are not new. They were also taught to the prophets Moses and Abraham. Abraham who fulfilled refers to the prophet Abraham's complete obedience to God despite immense trials and sacrifices. The message of accountability and righteous living is universal across divine revelation. Verse 38, and no soul bears the burdens of another soul. This is one of the Quran's clearest statements on personal responsibility. Every individual is accountable for his or her own actions. Related verses include chapter 6, verse 164. Every soul earns only to its own account. And chapter 41, verse 46. Whoever does righteousness, it is for his own soul, and whoever does evil, it is against it. Lesson. No one can transfer their sins to another person, nor can they avoid accountability through lineage, status, or association, or wealth, or power, whatever it is. No escape from individual accountability. Verse 39 of chapter 53, and that the human being attains only what he or she strives for. This verse emphasizes effort and personal striving. A person's reward is linked to sincere effort made in the path of God. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God, said, actions are judged by intentions. The lesson, human beings are responsible for exerting effort. God grants the results according to His wisdom and mercy. Verse 40, and His efforts will be witnessed. All deeds, whether public or hidden, will be presented on the day of judgment. God says elsewhere in chapter 99, verse 7 and 8, so whoever does an atom's weight of good shall see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil shall see it. The lesson, nothing is lost. Every effort is recorded. Verse 41, then he will be rewarded for it the fullest reward. God's judgment is perfectly just. Good deeds will be rewarded, often multiplied many times over, while wrongdoing will be judged with complete fairness. The lesson, divine justice is neither deficient nor excessive. Verse 42, and to your Lord is the finality. The journey of every human being ultimately ends with God. Wealth, status, family, and worldly achievements all come to an end, but accountability before God remains. God says in chapter 96, verse 8, indeed, to your Lord is the return. The lesson, awareness of our return to God should shape our priorities, actions, and character throughout life. So if we look at the key themes of the verses of chapter 53, verse 33 to 42, it's one, personal responsibility. No bearer of burdens shall bear the burden of another. Two, the value of effort. Human beings shall have nothing except what he or she strives for. Accountability. Every deed will be displayed and judged. Four, continuity of revelation. The same principles were taught to Moses and Abraham. Return to God. Every human being's final destination is to their Lord. These verses form one of the Quran's most powerful summaries of Islamic ethics. Each person is responsible for their own choices. Every sincere effort has value before God, and all people will ultimately be returned to Him for judgment and mercy. These are the basic explanation of these verses of chapter 53, verse 33 to 42. Let's listen in to a nasheed.
Oh, yeah. Rahman, Ya Rahim, Subhanaka, Ya Rabbal Alamin, Ya Rahman, the most merciful, shower your grace on us, Ya Rahim, the ever compassionate, forgive our every fuss, Ya Malik, Sovereign King, we seek refuge in your might. Ya Quddus, the pure and holy, cleanse our souls tonight. Ya Salam, source of peace, grant us tranquility. Ya Mumin, the giver of faith, make our hearts steady. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, upon your beautiful names, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Wadud, your light guides us through the flames, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, attributes of mercy and might, Subhanallah, we praise you day and night. Ya Khaliq, the Creator, who shaped us from clay, Ya Bari, the Maker, forming night into day, Ya Musawwir, the Fashioner, beauty in every form, Ya Ghaffar, the Forgiver, through every storm, Ya Wahab, the Bestower, the all away, you know what's hidden there. Ya Halim, the forbearing, patient with our flaws. Ya Azim, the magnificent, we stand in awe. Ya Ghafoor, Ya Shakur, Ya Ali, Ya Kabir, Ya Mukim, Ya Hasib, Ya Jalil, Ya Karim, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, your names we invoke with love.
Yes, indeed. One of the listeners, dear listeners, one of the most profound teachings of the Quran is that every single human being is personally responsible for his or her own actions and will be accountable before God for the choices made in this life. We live in a time when people often seek to blame others for their failures, their mistakes, and even their sins. We blame our upbringing, our circumstances, our society, our leaders, or our families. While Islam recognizes that circumstances influence people, it never removes personal responsibility. The Quran repeatedly reminds us that each person must ultimately answer for what they themselves have chosen to do. As God says in Surah Al-An'am, verse 164, every soul earns only to its own account, and no bearer of burdens shall bear the burden of another. This same principle is repeated in Surah Al-Isra, verse 15, Surah Al-Fatir, verse 18, and Surah Az-Zumar, verse 7. No one can carry our sins for us. No one can be blamed for choices that we knowingly make. On the day of judgment, each person will stand alone before God. The Quran teaches that God has shown humanity the path of guidance and given us the ability to choose. God says in Surah Al-Insan verse 3, "Indeed we guided him to the way, whether he be grateful or ungrateful." And Surah Al-Kahf verse 29, "The truth is from your Lord, then whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve." These verses remind us that faith is not forced upon anyone. Guidance has been shown, and human beings are responsible for the decisions they make. Because we have been given choice, we are accountable for the consequences of those choices. God says in Surah Fusilat, verse 46, "Whoever does righteousness, it is for his or her own soul, and whoever does evil, it is against it. Likewise, God says in Surah Al-Zathiyah, verse 15, "Whoever does a righteous deed, it is for himself or herself, and whoever does evil, it is against himself or herself." Every prayer, every charity, every act of kindness benefits us. Every injustice, every lie, every act of oppression harms us before it harms anyone else. The Quran further teaches that God judges people according to their striving and effort. In Surah Al-Najm, verses 39 to 41, which we just looked at, "And there is not for man except that for which he strives, and that his striving will be seen, and that he will be recompensed for it, and with the fullest reward." Notice that God mentions striving. Success is not always measured by results. Sometimes a believer struggles, falls short, encounters difficulties, despite sincere effort. God sees that effort and rewards it. This is why Islam encourages regular self-accountability. God says in Surah Al-Hashr, verse 18, "O ye who believe, fear God, and let every soul look to what it has sent forth for tomorrow." The great companion of the Prophet, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, used to say, "Take account of yourselves before you are taken to account." A believer does not wait for the day of judgment to evaluate himself. He examines his prayers, his speech, his relationships, his honesty, and his character every single day. The Quran also teaches that deep down, every person knows the truth about themselves. God says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, verses 14 and 15, "Rather, man is a witness against himself, even though he presents his excuses. We may justify our actions before people. We may explain away our mistakes, but before God and within our own conscience, we know when we have fallen short." Islam does not teach perfection. It teaches responsibility. When mistakes are made, God opens the door of repentance. As God says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 110, "And whoever does it wrong or wrongs himself, then seeks forgiveness of God, will find God forgiving and merciful." The believer does not pretend he has never sinned. He acknowledges his shortcomings and turns back to God. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, beautifully summarizes this reality when he said, "Every son of Adam sins, and the best of those who sin are those who repent." One of the most powerful examples of personal responsibility is found in the story of Adam alayhi salam. After making a mistake, Adam did not blame anyone else. Instead, he turned to God, as recorded in Surah Al-Araf, verse 23. "Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will surely be among the losers." Adam accepted responsibility. He did not blame Eve. By contrast, Iblis, Shaitan, blamed others. Allah records in Surah Al-Araf, verse 16, "Because you have made because you have put me in error, I will surely sit in wait for them on your straight path. So Satan is waiting for us to ambush us. One of the great moral lessons of the Quran, Adam said, we have wronged ourselves. Satan said, you caused me to err. One accepted responsibility and found mercy. The other shifted blame and was ruined. Dear listeners, the reality of accountability becomes even clearer when we reflect on the Day of Judgment. God says in Surah Al-Zalzalah, verses 7 and 8, so whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. No deed is insignificant before God. A kind word may save a person. A cruel word may destroy a relationship. A small charity may outweigh mountains of deeds. An unnoticed sin may become a source of regret. God further reminds us in Surah Al-Mudathir, verse 38, every soul is held in pledge for what it has earned. And Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 286, for it is what it has earned, and against it what it has incurred. On that day, even our own bodies will testify. God says in Surah Yasin, verse 65, today we will seal their mouths, and their hands will speak to us. Their feet will testify about what they used to earn. And in Surah Fusilat, verse 20 and 21, their hearing, their sight, and their skins will testify against them as to what they used to do. Nothing will be hidden. Nothing will be forgotten. Nothing will escape the justice of God. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, emphasized this accountability when he said, the feet of the Son of Adam will not move on the day of the resurrection until he is questioned about five things: his life, how he spent it, his youth, how he used it, his wealth, and how he earned it and spent it, and what he did with his knowledge. Dear listeners, the Quranic message is clear. We are not prisoners of our circumstances. We are not defined by our past mistakes. We are not responsible for the sins of others. We are responsible for our own choices. The believer therefore avoids blame, embraces accountability, seeks forgiveness when wrong, and strives continuously to improve. As we conclude, let us remember these words of God from Surah Al-Najm, verse 39. And that there is not for mankind except that for which he strives. May God make us among those who honestly examine themselves, take responsibility for their actions, seek his forgiveness for their shortcomings, and meet him with hearts that are sincere and accountable. Ameen.
In the silence of the night, I hear your call, guiding every step, you're above it all. Hearts that want to find a light in you, every path I take, it returns to truth. When the world feels heavy and I can't see, your mercy comes and it sets me free. No chains, no fear, just love so true. Yeah, Lord, my soul belongs to you. Your truth, your light is shining in me. Your truth, your love, it's all that I see. Raise me up, break me through. Every beat of my heart comes back to you.
major issues that the Quran treats is that of injustice. We understand from the lifetime of the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, his ultimate striving was the establishment of justice, fairness to all, regardless of your station in life. And he fought on behalf of the most vulnerable people, be they widows, be they orphans, be it those who did not have the protection of some particular nation or tribe, be it those who, you know, were discriminated against in any form or fashion. So today we have in our world many issues where injustice, many places where injustice is being experienced by people. And we focus on them from time to time. We see in Myanmar, in Burma, the Rohingya. We see in India, the rise of injustice. We see in Sudan. We see in the Congo. We see in Somalia. We see in Yemen. We see generally in the Middle East area. But particularly what we've seen over the last 2.5 years is that of the people of Palestine. So let's focus in on some of that, and let's hear a bit of an extract from For Freedom for Palestine.
This is our time. Unite together for justice in Palestine. No matter your faith or community, this is a crime against humanity. Gods are turned into a prison camp. Apartheid won't despite the West Bank.
We are the people and this is our time. Stand up.
Palestine, a people who have been under the strongest manners, as we would say in the Caribbean, out of Jamaica, heavy manners, for the past 80 years under occupation. One of the things that they have to do is things that we take for granted, the passing on of our own heritage and culture to the next generation. Let's focus in on what some Palestinians have had to do in order to maintain their identity and culture under occupation.
Did you know that Palestinian students once copied entire novels by hand just to keep their culture alive? For decades, Israeli military censors banned hundreds of Palestinian books. Poetry by Mahmoud Darwish, novels by Ghassan Kanafani, all forbidden. But Palestinians refused to let their stories disappear. University students created secret copying rings. They would handwrite entire books, page by page, sharing them in underground networks. When authorities raided homes, families hid books inside false walls and buried them in gardens like buried treasure. Some people memorized entire poems and novels, becoming living libraries. Grandmothers would whisper banned verses to their grandchildren. Fathers would recite forbidden stories around dinner tables. During military searches, soldiers would confiscate any Palestinian literature they found. But for every book they took, 10 more copies appeared. Students smuggled texts between cities. Teachers hid manuscripts in their classrooms. This wasn't just about preserving books. It was about preserving identity itself. Through handwritten pages and whispered poems, Palestinians kept their culture alive when others tried to erase it. Sometimes the most powerful resistance happens one copied page at a time.
Let's listen now to a spoken word poem by Dana Dajani. She is a Palestinian who is known for her theatrically and bringing her original poetry pieces to life while addressing various themes of social justice through her characters. This particular poem speaks about the Nakba that day when you know, Palestinians, over 750,000 were driven from their homes in the 1940s.
They call me Nakba, named for the catastrophe born on the same day as I. Welcome, 65 years of fighting the threat of genocide has left me unspooled, like the thread I use to embroider pillows and thobes with passion and the hope that one day I will again feel at home on this land that my grandfather tilled with his hands under the umbrage of a gold leaf dome. And all I've inherited is internal displacement, like my gut in my throat when I hear of olive trees older than you and me by centuries, uprooted like so many families, relinquished to refugee camps where there is no defense. And in the West Bank, we live restrained by a fence, thick enough to drown out the sounds of our sorrows and muffle the marching beat of endless feet martyred in neat piles which the media sweeps so slyly under the rug of humanity. The insanity of your alleged birthright, Israelis minting fresh citizens, you import entitlement and market it as democracy. And though your apartheid apathy acknowledges 1 million of my friends as second-class citizens among you, millions still are caught in between, unaccounted for in your governmental scheme. And that doesn't include the millions still who can only dream of one day reclaiming their ancestry. Frozen in the struggle to remain Palestinian and present, to retain the essence of al-za'atar with zaytun, khilloz with laymoon. In the spirit of those lost, the Arab spring saws, the sting of aching jaws, letting cries of freedom ring through bullet-battered walls. But the numbers dead here still spiral like some stupefying defect. One buried, two lost, three missing, 5, 8, 11, 13. Welcome, we've grown accustomed to this pattern of killing. But when does the sequence end? Tell me, Israel, through which ethical lens does your ethnic cleansing make sense? The irony is a bit too much for me to tolerate. While your IDF soldiers are toasting L'chaim, Palestinian children are dying. Our sons and daughters, prisoners of war, living on salt and water, and I don't mean tears alone. So tell me how, ya Danny Ayalon, can you deny that Palestine ever existed? How can you say with a straight face that before 48 there was nothing here but the potential for a Jewish state? Before you fed us your hate, welcome, we ate like kings in the Fertile Crescent, doctors, lawyers, and musicians. Our land was golden, the most bountiful and open. You've defiled our stunning cities and our pristine history, and yet I'll grant you amnesty, you orphan-making orphans, because you have never known the sanctuary of a home, and it's no wonder you want this land for your own. Our mountains and coastline, lush green and stone, which still stands to rebel against your bombshells, are a sight to remind you that your might does not negate our right to life. And I must admit I was jealous when you sent love letters to Iran. It made me wonder, how did I ever treat you wrong? It made me wonder what possesses a throng of Americans to suit up and serve to protect another homeland which they don't deserve. With only weapons in the water, only bullets in the bread, I was knocked out from rage with Stars of David round my head. Last time I yelled, hey! Ariel Fir'aun, will you let my people go? Because this land is holy and was so before your uranium blast. And at the end of the day, we both share the same Semitic past. But in the 1950s, your discriminatory policies helped you confiscate our land, classifying us as absentees. Though we never left sight of home, it was only out of reach as we stood helpless, caught at your checkpoints, present absentees, and watched as Jewish families commandeered Palestinian homes with food still cooking, hot on the stove, beds made and bills paid and pets waiting on the floor, sniffing out the stranger who just walked through the door. We never abandoned our Palestine, and now as refugees, we carry her spirit internationally and Israel. We refute your dumbing down of this occupation to call it a dispute, though it's not just a semantic issue. So I will continue to resist amidst your tanks and settlements, separating, segregating in your racist strategy. Walak Netanyahu, who chose you to inflict so much suffering unto me? Israel, I dream of peace, which is no substitute for justice. Israel, with your barbed wire hugs, and Israel, with your uranium love, and Israel, with your bulletproof apathy, Israel, with your affinity for make-believe, Israel, I am waiting for your liberating compassion, for you to discover your love of Palestinian Bedouins and Bashas, for this love cannot be contained, which is why love doesn't die when bodies don't remain, which is why love is all that's left. Though my heart has hardened like the stone pit of an olive. Don't you see, Israel? The only way I know to give you my very best is to rip open my vest, reach into my chest, dislodge this now calcified organ, kiss my fist, and with a wish, send it flying over the wall towards your settlements, which haven't settled anything at all, and hope you receive its good intent. You see, I don't resent you. We'd never move past this if I did. My life is over. I just want a better future for my kids. This rock was never meant for anything more than to knock some sense into you. Why continue war? We are one human race. There are no walls from space, and if you could just see my face, the daughter of a catastrophe, perhaps it may inspire in you some humanity. Israel, all I do is give you time, but until you get in line, I will keep throwing these love letters from Palestine.
That's Dania Dajani, a Palestinian poet, voicing her spoken word entitled Nakba. Let's listen to MC Abdul, another young Palestinian, as he sings Shouting at the Wall.
I'm exhausted. Last night I couldn't sleep, but when I did, I could hear bombs in my dreams. Nightmare situation. How could they be so evil? Making martyrs out of children and innocent people. We expect the bombs, not knowing where next. Huddle in the corner of my room, trying to protect my little brother as the building shakes like it's possessed. But nothing stronger than the will of the oppressed. I bomb back with my lyrics and rhymes. Living the times, trying to break the Palestinian mind. What's hiding in the clouds hanging over my head? My dad risks his life outside to buy bread. The fourth war in my 12th year. At this stage I'm numb, though I haven't felt scared. There's nothing I can do in this case to stay safe. I'm brave, even though this house could be my grave. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. Mothers mourn, frightened with grief. White sheets covered by his death. Lie on the streets, buildings turn to ash. But my mind is made of steel, so it doesn't take much for me to heal. Won't lose the will to live or lose our minds. My auntie lost her home, so she lost her life. But she's still alive, but traumatized by the bombs that flew in and dropped that night. My sister couldn't sleep, tried to stop her cries. I said it was fireworks, I was telling her lies. Where's the compassion? This is heartless. It's like they want us all living in darkness. Cutting off water and electricity for hours. They're knocking towers, but that's not knocking the power that I have in my pen. When I'm writing, I'm unstoppable. The microphone is the only escape possible, cause that's the way that I can speak my mind. I wonder how does the fighter pilot sleep at night, knowing he can turn the city upside down all of a sudden, slaughtering families with the push of a button. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death, life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shout starting of the war, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation.
MC Abdul, a young Palestinian kid expressing his yearning for freedom, just like each and every one of us in this world today just want to live. Let's listen to "We Just Want to Live." Wants to live. Where is the justice today? Let's listen to Ashiq Rasool as they sing Intercession. As we know, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, was a mercy to all mankind, and his greatest strength was his persistence in fighting for justice and fairness to all people.
Intercession.
Thank you.
Yes, let's listen now to a bit of When I Cry.
When I cry to the sky, la ilaha illallah. When my soul asks why, la ilaha illallah. I begged him in sujood, why this pain again? But Allah never answered like other men. He let me ache, no vision, no dream. Because healing isn't allowed, it flows unseen. He could have changed it all in just one word, but instead he made sure I truly heard. Not with my ears, but with my scars. So I stopped chasing dunya and reached for the stars. وَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. When I cry to the sky, لا إله إلا الله. When my soul asks why, لا إله إلا الله. When my heart gave way, لا إله إلا الله. When he taught me,
yes, indeed, that brings us to the end of today's show. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Until next week, Saturday, inshallah, I leave you with Muhyiddin Chisti's last words as read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
History was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy, and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance, dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah.
You are listening to WTUR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
The views expressed on the preceding program may not necessarily be those of the owner or management of WTOR radio station.
मेरी पूरे साल की सेविंग $400 हुई है.
मेरी सेविंग $350.
और मेरी सेविंग सबसे ज्यादा हुई है. मैंने सेव किए हैं $2,000.
क्या चमत्कार किया, मुझे भी गुर सिखाओ ना.
हमारे पास दो गाड़ियाँ और एक घर है, और इन सब की इंश्योरेंस मिलाकर मैंने जबरदस्त सेविंग की है. आप भी अपनी गाड़ी और घर की इंश्योरेंस में खूब सेविंग कर सकते हैं. टर्म एंड कंडीशन अप्लाई. ऑल स्टेट पिकरिंग एजेंसी के राजा बाशक, 6472903773, 6472903773.
Petro Canada pesh kar de Juron heavy duty diesel engine oils hun full service savings naal 10W30 synthetic $20 discount 5W30 $40 discount offer limited time lay 5W30 quick start aur oil flow thande mausam vich jeetu 10W30 engine di karguzari nu badhai rakhda QTL di tin locations te pujjo aur laab chakko exit 268 Cambridge exit 579 Napanee exit 5 Fort Erie Petro Canada aur QTL balle balle anutha saak
Hello Navdeep ki haal hai Baljeet gal kar rahi ha UK to
tusi Canada to UK gaye ho tuhanu roaming lag javegi te bill bahut vadda avega
fikr di koi gal nahi hai mere kol Beavertel di roaming services hai bahut hi ghat keemat hai 5G internet roaming services tusi kithe vi travel kar rahe ho UK India Pakistan Saudi Arabia bahut hi ghat keemat te data roaming hasil karo je tusi vi travel da plan kar rahe ho ta Beavertel nu contact karo 416-243-9936 416-243-9836 ja fir visit karo beavertel.com
ਕੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਵੈਡਿੰਗ ਰਿਸੈਪਸ਼ਨ ਬਰਥਡੇ ਪਾਰਟੀ ਯੂਨੀਵਰਸਿਟੀ ਦੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ ਹਾਲ ਲੱਭ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਆਓ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਚੱਲਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੀਡੈਂਟ ਕਨਵੈਨਸ਼ਨ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਨਵਾਂ ਔਰ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ ਦੋ ਵੱਡੇ ਹਾਲ 100 ਤੋਂ 600 ਤੱਕ ਮਹਿਮਾਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਗੁੰਜਾਇਸ਼ ਵੱਡੀ ਆਸਾਨ ਪਾਰਕਿੰਗ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਖਾਸ ਗੱਲ ਸਵੀਟ ਮਹਿਲ ਦਾ ਲਜ਼ੀਜ਼ ਖਾਣਾ ਤਾਜ਼ਾ ਖਾਣਾ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਤਕਰੀਬ ਨੂੰ ਚਾਰ ਚੰਦ ਲਗਾ ਦੇਵੇਗਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਮੌਕੇ ਦੀ ਫੰਕਸ਼ਨ ਦੀ ਬੁਕਿੰਗ ਹੈ ਕਾਲ ਕਰੋ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੀਡੈਂਟ ਕਨਵੈਨਸ਼ਨ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਦੇ ਸੁੱਖਾ ਜੀ 416-736-6820 416-736-6820
Chandni
Banquet Hall.
Intelligent choice, locations, sound system, innovations, Chandni Banquet Hall.
30 years of hospitality experience, corporate event, exhibition, expo or any celebration.
Indoor and outdoor golf course facilities. Chandni Banquet Hall. For appointment, call today at 905-458-8888. 905-458-8888. Or visit chandnivictoria.ca.